season. Joy. Peace. Pardon? Stress. Thank you. Quite right. Julian? Love. What else? Family. Sprouts. Absolutely. Pardon? Grief. Giving. Birth. Absolutely. Joy. Thank you, David. So the Christmas story, thank you, Howard, actually begins in darkness. In the book of Isaiah, we read about the promise of change with the arrival of Jesus. Isaiah writes, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So the Old Testament writer Isaiah mentions darkness twice in one of the sentences, with a second time calling it deep darkness. And whilst we're promised that their light will be arriving, that the light will be the dawn, and that light, of course, being Jesus, darkness is nevertheless the context of the Christmas story, which seems at odds sometimes because we think of Christmas, of all of those things that you've mentioned, but also shiny, sparkly, indulgent parties, festivities, which seems a weird contrast. Nonetheless, it does belong in the land of deep darkness and deep shadow. And this is important to remember because, of course, for many of us, Christmas can be a time of difficulty and darkness as well. Perhaps we're struggling with long-term sickness, unemployed, broke, single, divorced, or bereaved. Some of us will be finding Christmas particularly difficult this year. And the passage in Isaiah assures us, assures you, that your sorrow isn't overlooked by God. These verses reassure us that within the darkness is a light, and within the pain there is hope, and his name is Jesus. This morning, I'd like us to look at four kinds of Christmas approaches that explore our response to the darkness that we all experience from time to time. Some of us right now, today. There's a Scrooge approach, a shopper approach, a Santa approach, and the stable approach. Each kind of Christmas can teach us about ourselves and how we approach life and the way of handling the world's darkness. While we're going through it, perhaps you would indulge me by asking yourself, which one are you? Which one do I want to be? Which is the best approach? So, number one, Scrooge. How many of us here feel a little bit Scroogey at Christmas? Are we those bah humbugs? Thank you, Andy. Yes. Ebenezer Scrooge had a ruthlessly consistent approach to the darkness. He looked out on a bleak world, looked ahead at a bleak future, and chose to live accordingly. This is what he said. I love this. "Every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart." I love that piece of writing. Here is one way of handling the darkness that we will inevitably face. Make your home in it, because just as bitter as your bitter circumstances say bah humbug to the Christmas message. That's one approach to Christmas, of course, bah humbug, but it's also an approach to life. You know, when things turn gloomy, do we? When things turn hard, do we become hard? Jesus is described in the Bible as a dazzling source of light and life. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we can recoil from that light. I think of all the years of clubbing that I used to do. back in the good old days. And it had been dark all night, and then 3 in the morning, the lights come on. Anyone sort of remember that kind of like, oh my gosh, that's just too much light? Sometimes that's kind of how we feel with Jesus when he pierces us. It's like it's too much light. And of course, when we shrink back and hide in the shadows, it's easier sometimes. We won't be bothered. We don't have to show up. We don't have to be held to account. That's why the darkness doesn't just happen to us. We can also choose to live in the darkness too. Probably none of us want to follow as Scrooge lives a life. So, what about a more popular kind of Christmas? Number two, the shopper. So, if Scrooge believes it's darkness now and darkness forever, the shopper says, don't be so miserable. Stoke the fires. Let's celebrate. The Christmas shopper wears the gaudiest jumper and novelty reindeer socks. Anyone got any novelty socks on today for Christmas? Ooh. And of course, the mistletoe headband. They raise their festive glasses and wish everyone Merry Christmas. The shopper isn't religious. They've given up on Jesus and church, along with the story of Santa and the Tooth Fairy. I'm so sorry if that is news to anybody today. As there is nothing after death, therefore you may as well make the most of now. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow is unknown. However, there is something right about the shopper's response, because of course we're not meant to be Scrooges. We've been actually created and designed for joy. That's our true DNA. A life with Jesus includes a promise of incredible hope, freedom from your deepest fears, and a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Right now, some of us will be living with darkness, with burdens, with battles. But the Christmas child will prove to be our Prince of Peace. Jesus describes his future as hope and often speaks of it in terms of family and friends gathering together, usually around great food, celebrating, singing. According to Jesus, creation is invited always towards joy. So the Christmas shoppers are right, in one sense, to emphasize food, celebration, joy, festivities. But there's a problem. If you're a shopper, you actually don't believe in the happily ever after. Because the shopper's life is about blazing brightly now. How many of us choose to put the things that we're really struggling with to one side? And so we drink a bit more. We veg on the settee a bit more. We eat a bit more. We pretend a bit more. For when the big day is over, when the batteries have died, for some of us with young children, that's the day that we're quite thankful for. When the batteries have died and the tree has withered and the credit card bills hit the doormat, the valley of shadow remains. So, what should we do? Get depressed and become like Scrooge? No. Or maybe we should just pretend the darkness away, because the next approach does just that. That's what Santas do. Now, how many of you, every time I say the word Santa, are physically recoiling inside because, Rachel, you should be using the word Father Christmas? Is there a few of it? Yes, exactly. I toyed with this idea a lot because I'm a Father Christmas kind of girl. My daughter's a Santa girl. But in this situation, I use Santa because the word Father Christmas just seemed too nice. So the Scrooges and the shoppers of this world are pretty secular. They're not really believers as such. The Santas of the world, however, are different. They are spiritual, trusting that there is more to life than just what we see. But what do they believe about God? Whilst they don't imagine that there's a fat man living in the North Pole, they do think that there is some sort of spiritual power who's basically like a big Santa in the sky somewhere. Indeed, the similarities between Santa and perceptions of God are endless. So he's basically a story for children, lives far, far away. You can't really see him, but you kind of hope that he's there. He's irrelevant in most of our lives, but if we really want something, we might put in a list of wishes. I mean, how many of us have ever prayed those desperate prayers? How many of us have bargained with God? If you just answer this prayer, I promise to. I know I have. In fact, our complaint against Santa and against God is usually his fairness or lack of. Why do some people get gifts and I don't? I used to see this as a teacher, kids coming in saying all the things that Father at Christmas had bought them, including one year a 50-inch TV, knowing full well that in my class, another child was still sleeping on the floor. Is Father Christmas, Santa, is God really all loving, like the story says? How many of us have done this, have actually picked up the telephone, pretended to phone Father Christmas, wanting our child to behave with the threat of being put on the naughty list, which actually I think is horrific. And I'm not sure whether I did that. After all, did I do that, Charlotte? I will never do that to Aria, though, because obviously I prefer her. So, after all, the song says he's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, slightly creepy. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for Christmas' sake. So, what this song tells us is that Santa doesn't really give gifts unconditionally, but rather rewards for good behavior. And perhaps this is the part of the story that sounds more like our view of God. Perhaps that's how you think some of Christianity exists too, that it's basically about buying into a comforting old myth and that God is a distant dispenser of blessings or curses. And he's simply making a list and he's checking it twice. However, when Christians talk about God, we're not talking about the wish list of fulfillment. We're not talking about a light where hope exists beyond the darkness. No, we're talking about a light that shows up with us in that darkness. For Jesus is the ultimate assurance of light, not a vague belief on sort of groundless myths. His light is beyond our understanding, and it shows up with us in our darkness. For this is a very different prospect. This is our fourth kind of Christmas, the stable. So, the story of Jesus' birth is God's solution to that darkness, the darkness that we have for ourselves, the darkness when we turn on the telly only this week, and the horrific scenes in Germany. Christmas is God's answer to that darkness, and it's in the stable that Jesus entered into darkness, because this is what ultimate love does. This is divine love. At Christmas, we see airports, trains, cars filled with tearful reunions. We spend hundreds of pounds on each other and actually getting to be with each other. Why? Because love pays any price to be with their beloved. Jesus was that any price. When you see Jesus in the manger, you are seeing this promise that he's committing himself to us. He's saying to us all, I'm here now. I've come to shoulder your burdens with you. I will sit with you in the darkness. Yes, the stable Christmas comes to each and every one of us in this land of shadow. I know your darkness. I will be your light. This is the ultimate Christmas gift. A son given and a promise made that by receiving him as your guide, by choosing to follow him through your valleys, he will fill you with his spirit so that his spirit becomes your spirit. He will introduce you to his father so that his father becomes your father He promises you his future so that his eternal life is our eternal life. So, are you a Scrooge? Yes, darkness is all around us. It'll always be around us. There's nothing we can do about it. Just accept it. Get sucked into that darkness too. Or are we a shopper? Let's not even worry about the future. Enjoy it for what it is. Let's just live well today. Forget about the future. Or are we a Santa? There might be some kind of spiritual power. Not really sure how I connect to it. I know I'm a Christian, but do I really fully believe it? Or is it just a happy childhood myth that I have connected and chosen to follow? Or are we a stable, remembering the promise that Jesus is the light in our darkness? Thank you.